Dustin, can you hear us?
Hello.
Yes, sir.
You bet. We got it fixed. All right, Dustin, sorry about that. Sorry, everybody that was listening. Dustin, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Doing good.
This is Dustin. What's Dustin's last name?
Dustin Johnson with Cedar Ridge Aviation out of Knox City, Texas. Dustin Johnson. Dustin, you fill us in on what you, I mean, you do a lot of spraying and a lot of different things up in these areas. Kind of give us an idea of, you know, who you are and tell everybody where what's going on up there in Iowa and Nebraska.
Okay, yeah, we're based in Knox City. We're aerial application, and we do predator control. And then we spend our summers up in Missouri and Iowa and Illinois, basically chasing the corn run. So starting Saturday and Sunday, I started receiving pictures and text and calls from all my guys in the Hamburg, Iowa area that were moving all their stuff. Sent me pictures of semi-trucks backed up to their barns. Finally, we called and said, what's going on? They said, well, we've got 48 hours to get everything we own out of here. The levees possibly are going to break. Still didn't know if it's going to happen 100%, but they were trying to get everything out they could.
Yep.
So we followed with them. Sunday, they called and said, yeah, the levees are broke. You know, the water's supposed to be here soon. It's, you know, it started really low, and then it started coming up and up. I guess Sunday evening, we called and said, how bad is it? And they said, I don't know, we can't get to it. We can't get the drones to it. We can't see it. We don't really know. So we told them, okay, we'll see you tomorrow. So we left Monday morning about 6 a.m. and flew up to Hamburg, Iowa, which is southwest corner of Iowa, actually right next to Nebraska City. It's right there in the very first town you come into, southwest Iowa, right on I-29. We arrived there about noon. We landed and picked up one of the levee board guys, which is also one of our big farmers that we spray for. Went up and found the breach in the levee. So this levee system was built in 1948. They did a $150 million rehab on it in 2011 after they had a flood that was nothing like it is today. So he said, I just can't understand where it's broke at. Let's go find it. So we went up and found it, and it was way worse than they ever imagined it being. Water was pouring in there, and water was rising very quickly. So basically the reason that we went up there was to show, you know, just show our support for them and to pick up each of our farmers that were sitting on the bank wondering how bad is it, is our house flooded or our bins flooded. We just wanted to be able to pick them up, go show them, that way they could quit wondering. It seems like once they saw it and realized, yeah, it did happen, it brought a little bit of closure to them and they could go ahead and move on.
Yes, sir.
That's why we ended up going up there. And that, it wasn't nothing like going to the hurricane where we were rescuing animals, we were rescuing people. It was mainly just to go up there and pick them up, get them over the flood where they could see what was going on, and I guess know what they're going to get to do for the next 3 or 4 months.
Well, Dustin, was this, I know this was anticipated. I know they had sounds like a 48-hour window, which is no window at all to really recoup much, but you know, I guess they had some kind of inclination that the levees might fail. And with the age of it and the rehab done in 11, is there something that went wrong there? Is it just a Mother Nature natural disaster? I guess, you know, is this something that someone probably was anticipating this might happening?
Yeah, I don't really know what went wrong. I don't know if they were just basically, there was a dam that busted in South Dakota, and I don't know exactly where it's at or what happened, but they were just receiving more water than they had places to go.
Right.
You know, and the Corps of Engineers was, you know, trying to follow a master manual that was written in 1948, updated in 2003, and the update took them 14 years to accomplish.
Right.
So they're working with old technology, and it was just more than they could handle.
Yeah.
So I know that the flooding up there is, I mean, it's, people can't imagine how bad it is, but how many areas, I mean, do they have any estimate as to how many areas right now are flooded or underwater?
Just the area that we just basically stayed in the areas that we spend our summer in. The area that we were in was approximately 5 miles wide and 35 miles long.
Wide and 35 miles long?
Yeah, and it was deep as 15 foot.
15 feet deep?
Yeah, I took some farmers, we would go look, and they were trying to find their center pivots, and we couldn't even, the water was over the top of them, we couldn't even locate them.
So it's, folks, to give you some, scale, it's 30 miles from Abilene to Baird.
Yeah, or 30 miles from here to Anson.
30 miles from here to Anson. So you're looking at
that much of an area times 5 miles long that's just underwater.
A couple of counties.
With a four-lane interstate right in the middle of it. It's, 10 foot underwater.
Wow.
So crop damage, I'm assuming this
no
is...
No crops are in the field right now. The problem is they, due to... So I asked them a question. I said, why was all your corn stored in bins?
Yeah.
And they told me there's big lines at the elevators. There's a big dock when you bring wet corn in. So they store their corn so it can dry. And they're always, hoping that if the market will increase. They've got a lot of reasons why they store their corn and beans in the bins. I didn't know before I got up there that once it's put in the bin, it's not insured. There's no insurance on any of the crops that were there.
No, you have no insurance. Once it goes out of the field, it's that unless it's on the elevator's yard where you sell it, there's no insurance. So if you've got...
In that 5 mile wide and 35 mile stretch, there's an estimated 3 million bushels of corn that was in bins and 800,000 bushels of beans.
Wow.
Okay. That's enough. That's probably enough to change some commodity prices.
Just one would think. I don't know. I think the Monday morning corn was actually down. So
just to give people an estimate of how much lost just on the corn, I hadn't figured the beans. Just on the corn, there's nearly over 11 million just in the corn. That didn't include the bins that collapsed, yeah. The tractors they lost, the houses that flooded, the equipment that's totally ruined because it filled up with water. Just the corn.
Yeah.
I saw two John Deere houses that were completely underwater. One of them, we talked to the manager while we were having lunch. He had $2 million worth of parts on the shelf in Hamburg. Did not get one piece out. He had a combine that they couldn't get started. The water was over the top of the bins on the combine. Sprayers, interrogators, tractors. We saw everything you can imagine underwater. Bulldozers, excavators. They said it could be in the billions.
Yeah. When you figure in all the real estate, the houses, the equipment, the barns, the bins, the bad thing is, like you said, there's no insurance on that $11 million worth of corn or all those beans that are there. I mean, there's not those people lost that. That's a loss total.
Right. And that $11 million in beans and $6.5 million in beans and $12 million in corn, that is just in the one area that we flew at.
Yeah.
That's not
the
everything
whole thing.
That's underwater.
Yeah. Gosh,
no,
dang.
They're saying that they could see floods. It was traveling down to St. Joe, and they could see it all the way, I don't know how far south it will go. I don't know when it will end. I mean, some of the guys I talked to, I asked them, how long are you going to be underwater? They said, best case scenario, 14 days. Worst case scenario, 3 months.
Oh gosh!
In 2011, a lot of them were underwater for 100 days.
Gosh dang! So pretty much, if you're listening, those people that are in those affected areas are not going to get a crop in this year.
No, sir.
No.
Not only will they lose their crop this year, they lost their crop in the bin last year.
And probably some guys lost 2 years worth of crops that they had stored. Because some of those bins you flew by, they had three or four of those 20,000 bushel bins.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Ouch.
Yeah, I took one particular farmer that had 192,000 bushels of product himself. And he basically told me it was nice knowing me that he was done. There's no way he could ever recuperate.
Nope.
Well, Dustin, I was telling before we got you on the air, you know, my family's from the Memphis, Tennessee area. We got still got a lot of family up and down in the Delta that have farmed forever. And that levee broke, you know, before I was born, long time ago. And those families that had, you know, been there for several generations wiped them out. Of course, this was before you could even have insurance on anything. And, you know, you hear those stories, and I even had a close friend, Linus Thornton, whose the levee broke, and it wiped out his farm, and they never recovered. I mean, ever. You know, that family just since dispersed, and the kids went on and had to do other things. You know, there was not a national relief fund back then, but you know, there was probably you know, not enough technology to prevent it back then. But nowadays, it just makes you wonder, you know, was the ball dropped somewhere? You know, it's one thing to have a hurricane that no one can prepare for. It's another thing to have a levee break, in my opinion. I mean, I'm not trying to blame someone. And there is no one to blame. I'm not trying to place blame somewhere. But, you know, you've got some real suffering going on, and you've got a structure that is very old and old technology designing it, and not much in the way of a way to design that. I mean, you hear this across the country, and it's probably a political issue. Is infrastructure, and not only your highways, and you hear people complaining about potholes in our roads here in Abilene, but you know, levees are a part of that infrastructure. It seems like to me this you know, it's sad to say, but sometimes it takes these disasters in order to spark change. And you know, if that levee's gone out, certainly there's other levees that were designed at the same time.
Oh yeah, there'll be this will knock out numerous levees along the way on southbound.
So it's not done yet.
The time I was there, we watched two additional ones south of them breach, and if they weren't a breach, then there's no telling how bad it would have finally got. But they finally broke and allowed water to go downstream. Now the next group of levees will get to. I mean, it's just a chain reaction that everyone southbound is going to get to deal with.
So on a scale, I mean, you get called out on a lot of these things. You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your opinion?
I don't know. It's hard to say. This one, I guess it's just different because when I went to the hurricane, there's animals and you know there's people we were working with, and then this one just is different because you know the homes that were underwater, we have landed in their yards and had lunch with them, and we've been there, and we know every street, we know every field, we knew every barn, we knew every farmer, and it was just, I guess it was a whole lot harder on my crew. Me and Garrett, we went together, and we both know all the guys that were underwater in it. It was just a lot different than anything else we've worked.
Wow. Wow. So what's the next step? I mean, there's not a lot. I mean, this water just bleeds out and spreads out, and it's just there. It's not like, you know, when the hurricane was here. And correct me if I'm wrong, Dustin, but, you know, the hurricane comes and goes, and that water recedes, at, you know, slowly, but
yeah,
it recedes.
This water will recede to a point, but once it gets to a certain point, they were talking about actually bringing pumps in and trying to pump it back into the river. They don't know any other way, you know, to get it back where it goes.
Gosh dang.
Wow. So what's the next step for people? I mean, I'm assuming they're going to have to do some, you know, some disaster relief.
They were so, it's amazing. It's their attitude was unbelievable. They all had a smile and said, we'll get through it. We'll, you know, we'll rebuild our fields. We'll move the sand. We'll bring good dirt in. And then, you know, some, even knowing it's not ever going to happen, they still stayed positive and acted like they were going to try their best to get a crop in. So I don't know where their next step is.
Wow, that's devastating.
It's hard to fathom having that kind of reserve. It's basically like having a savings account that you've been saving, you know, for several years, and you've got $500,000 to $1 million worth of money sitting in there, and you just lost it. All of it,
mm-hmm. and a lot of them didn't know they that it was lost until they got in the helicopter and being flew over.
Yeah.
That one, the hardest thing to see is, you know, 80-year-old men that I took and flew, and I told him, I said, your bends are trash. They're no good, and he just didn't believe it till he got over it. And just the facial expression from all these farmers that have put everything into their crop to fly over it and watch their facial expression was less than fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably a life-changing moment, even you know.
But like you said, you know, people don't understand how much of a pendulum that agriculture is on. I mean, it's literally, it's bad. I mean, I hate to keep saying it and being negative, but just like this, people that are 80 years old that have done this all their life, they just lost $500,000 to $1 million of basically of their retirement and their life, their funds. You can't recoup from that.
Yeah.
No.
Not financially.
No. I mean, being 80 years old, you're done.
Yeah. No. Some of the older guys said that they estimated that 40% of the farmers would go broke over this flood.
Gosh dang.
Well, Dustin, thank you, sir, for coming on. Thank you for what you're doing. And I know that was hard, but we appreciate you, and we sure appreciate your insight. Please let us know if there's anything we can do to help those people up there.
We'll do it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dustin.
Bye-bye.
Man, that's rough. Rough.
I mean, I can't imagine.
I couldn't either. I don't think it's, you know, you look at the pictures, even the stuff where we posted, and it doesn't put it in perspective. But imagine being that farmer and thinking, man, oh, there's no way. There's no way that levee broke and washed out everything I've worked for in 2 years, and then you fly over it, and that would be hard.
It's gone. It's all laying there in water, soaking up water.
Well, folks, we need to say a prayer for the people in Iowa, Nebraska.
Yep.
Y'all pray for them. I'm sure we'll give you some updates on what's happening with that. Sure. Hopefully the national news will too. I hope they do. I hope they recognize that that's a big deal, and the struggle for farmers nowadays is real, and we feel for them, and our thoughts and prayers go out to those people up there.
Yep.